Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball and Brian Lynn. Pete Musto will tell us what's trending today, and later, John Russell and Jill Robbins will bring us everyday grammar. But first, the Uzbek man who killed 8 people in New York City came to the United States on a diversity immigrant visa. After the attack, President Donald Trump announced he wants to work with U.S. lawmakers to end the diversity immigrant visa program. Trump said, "I am going to ask Congress to immediately initiate work to get rid of this program. Diversity, diversity lottery. Sounds nice. It's not nice. It's not good. It's not good. It hasn't been good. We've been against it." The diversity visa program is known as the Green Card Lottery. It is the only hope for some would-be Americans to live in the United States. The program is open to non-refugees, individuals with no family members in the U.S., and those lacking an employer willing to guarantee them a job. To be considered for the program, a person must have a high school education or a few years of work experience. Natives of most countries can qualify, but there are exceptions, such as Bangladesh, Brazil, Canada, China, Colombia, and the Dominican Republic. The list also includes El Salvador, Haiti, India, Jamaica, Mexico, Nigeria, and Pakistan. Also included are Peru, the Philippines, South Korea, the United Kingdom and its territories, except Northern Ireland, and Vietnam. People born in Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan qualify for the Diversity Lottery Program. Between September 2015 and September 2016, the U.S. government approved 45,664 diversity visas. More than 2,300 of them were given to Uzbeks.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer helped to create the legislation for the program in the 1990s. Schumer is a leading member of the Democratic Party. Trump has blamed Schumer and the Democrats for the terror attack in New York. In a statement, Schumer said, "I have always believed and continue to believe that immigration is good for America." He also asked the president to support the real solution of anti-terrorism financing, which would be cut under the most recent budget proposal by the Trump administration. Schumer was also one of 8 lawmakers who wrote the comprehensive immigration reform bill in 2013. The bill would have ended the green card lottery. That measure passed the Senate, but the House of Representatives did not vote on it. Leon Fresco formerly served in the Office of Immigration Litigation at the U.S. Department of Justice. He worked there during the presidency of Barack Obama. Fresco developed the legislation in 2013. He noted that cutting the lottery program was part of a compromise between the 2 main political parties.
President Trump has called for a new immigration system, one that is based on merit, not family ties. The United States currently has a family-based immigration policy. The immigration system is based on sponsorship. A U.S. citizen or green card holder can offer to accept responsibility for family members who leave their home country to move to the U.S. Partners and young children qualify as immediate relatives and do not need to wait for a visa number. But for brothers, sisters, and adult children, the process can be long and difficult. It's extremely difficult. Brothers and sisters are at the very end, said Naomi Su, deputy director for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Su said, "It is even harder if they live in countries that have a lot of immigrants coming to the United States." The nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute reports that in 2015, more than 1 million permanent residents were admitted to the United States. Of that number, 44% were immediate relatives of U.S. citizens and 20% entered through a family-sponsored preference. Only 14% entered on job-based visas. Merit-based immigration would give preference to non-citizens with high-paying job offers, past successes, English language skills, and education. All of those would be considered under the proposed green card system. Su explained that the system would give points for age, the salary you are able to command, and how much money you are going to invest in the U.S. economy. The higher the rating, the more likely an immigrant would be admitted to the United States. This system would be similar to merit-based immigration systems used by Canada and Australia.
Supporters of a merit-based system say it would help lower immigration rates. And they say it will ensure that the immigrants who do get accepted are highly skilled and less likely to need public assistance. In August, Trump said that the United States has operated a very low-skill immigration system. He was speaking in support for a bill known as the RAISE, Reforming American Immigration for a Strong Economy Act. It aims to cut legal immigration from 1 million to 500,000 each year, in part by moving to a merit-based system. This family-based policy has placed substantial pressure on American workers, taxpayers, and community resources, Trump said. But critics say the U.S. economy also needs low-skilled workers, and a merit-based system would hurt industries that depend on them. Critics also see the merit-based system as un-American. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat, said Wednesday that the proposed system abandons the fundamental respect for family at the heart of our faith, at the heart of who we are as Americans.
Chinese artist and activist Ai Weiwei has produced a film documentary about refugees around the world. He filmed a total of 40 refugee camps in 23 countries. The documentary tells about people who fled war and environmental crises. Others left their home country for religious reasons. The goal of the new film is to show how the refugee crisis affects everyone. The documentary is called Human Flow. It says over 65 million people in the world today have been forced to leave their homes. Ai Weiwei used drone aircraft to film the movement of refugees. He and his crew equipped the drones with cameras to get pictures of those displaced from up high. I spoke with VOA about his project.
Human flow as always happens in the human history. It's in many cases, it's part of our humanity and our civilization.
But things are different now, he notes. Ai Weiwei says countries are working to stop the flow of people by preventing refugees from crossing borders. After a very difficult trip by sea and days of walking, many refugees from the Middle East made their way to northern Greece. But then they were stopped at the border with Macedonia. The documentary looks at the refugee crisis in some areas, as well as the personal stories of those suffering. Like one man who holds up photographs of family members who died at sea.
They all died at sea. His wife is buried here. His son is buried here. And his daughter, too. His son also drowned at sea. This is my brother, Saki Ahmed.
Human Flow shows large numbers of people fleeing wars, religious persecution, and environmental disasters. Ai Weiwei says we need to save those people from displacement. If we do not, he warns, generations will be born without identity or the possibility of a better life. He believes that will make them targets for extremists. The Chinese activist is critical of Europe and the United States for lacking empathy, leadership, and ideas about the refugee issue. He warns that if this does not change, no one's future will be safe. I'm Ann Ball.
A new report finds that for the first time, Asian billionaires outnumber those in the United States. The number of Asian billionaires rose by nearly one quarter in 2016 to 637, according to the report published by UBS Group AG and PricewaterhouseCoopers. UBS is a financial advisory company that serves wealthy people around the world. PricewaterhouseCoopers is an international company providing accounting and tax services. The report counted 563 billionaires in America and 342 in Europe. It found that while the U.S. no longer has the most billionaires, it still has the most overall billionaire wealth. This is because more of the world's wealthiest individuals live in the United States. The increase in Asia was due to a sharp rise in self-made billionaires. About 75% of new billionaires came from Asia's two biggest economies, China and India. China, by far, had the highest number of new billionaires, 67, while India added 16. The combined wealth of Asian billionaires grew by almost a third in 2016 to $2 trillion from $1.5 trillion in 2015. The total wealth of U.S. billionaires rose to $2.8 trillion in 2016 compared to $2.4 trillion the previous year. Most of the increase in wealth came from technological innovation, followed by financial services and materials, according to the report. If the current trend continues, the total wealth of Asian billionaires is expected to be higher than all U.S. billionaires in about 4 years. Worldwide, the report said total billionaire wealth rose 17% in 2016 to $6 trillion. This was largely fueled by the increase in Asian billionaires. It also came from strong economic growth in materials, industrial production, financial services, and technology. In Europe, billionaire wealth remained largely unchanged from 2015 to 2016. Overall wealth grew just 5% to $1.3 trillion. Europe added 24 new billionaires in 2016, while 21 dropped off the list, a third of them due to death. The report estimated that the 1,542 billionaires studied either owned or partly owned companies that employ at least 27.7 million people worldwide. Billionaires in various countries are increasingly putting more of their money into philanthropy, art, and sports. Many invested in major sports clubs, including soccer, baseball, and basketball. According to our analysis, more than 140 of the top sports clubs globally are owned by just 109 billionaires, the report said. Overall, the average billionaire's age is 63. In America, it is 67 years old, while the average in Asia is 59. Chinese billionaires averaged 55 years old. Among all billionaires, the report found those involved in technology were the youngest. On average, they became billionaires at age 47. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is What's Trending Today. The Houston Astros baseball team won the World Series Wednesday night. It beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1 in the final game of the series. Houston had never won the baseball championship since entering the major leagues in 1962. That is a 55-year wait for a title. The Astros came close a few times. In 2005, the team made it to the World Series but lost 4 straight games. The championship went to the White Sox of Chicago. After that, things went from bad to worse. The team lost nearly twice as often as they won during the following seasons. In 2011, the team lost 106 games. In 2012, it lost 107 games. And in 2013, the team lost a record 111 games. Some sports observers called the Astros the laughingstock of baseball. In other words, people often made fun of the team's poor results. This season, the city of Houston was badly damaged by flooding from Hurricane Harvey. The Astros returned home from a road trip to find their city underwater. Few picked the Astros to win the series over the Dodgers. But for writers and editors of Sports Illustrated magazine, the Astros' victory did not come as a surprise. In 2014, the magazine published a cover that predicted the Astros would win the 2017 World Series. It shows a young player named George Springer with the headline, "Baseball's Great Experiment." Ben Ryder is a writer for Sports Illustrated. He visited the team in 2014. Ryder wrote that the Astros were run by know-it-all baseball outsiders, including a former management consultant and a former NASA engineer. Jeff Lunau is the general manager for the Astros. He is the so-called know-it-all former management consultant. In 2014, he told Ryder about his plan to rebuild the team using scientific data. When you're in 2017, you don't really care that much about whether you lost 98 or 107 in 2012. Lunau said, "You care about how close we are to winning a championship in 2017. 3 years later, the Astros did just that. And George Springer, named the series' most valuable player, is back on the cover of Sports Illustrated. This time, the headline reads, "Baseball's Great Prophecy." And the magazine predicts that the Astros will repeat as the World Series champions next year. I'm Pete Musto.
The American rock group Journey released the song "Don't Stop Believin'" in 1981. This song, still popular in karaoke music bars, can help you learn about English grammar. Let's listen to some words from the song. Today, we are going to examine the grammar behind the song's famous words. Specifically, we will talk about verb plus gerund structures. Stop believing is one example of this kind of structure.
Let us begin with a few definitions. A gerund is the form of a verb that ends with the letters ing. Such words act like a noun. For example, in the sentence, "I love learning," the word "learning" is a gerund. An infinitive is the basic or simplest form of the verb. Sometimes it has the word "to" in front of it. In the sentence, "I like to read books," the words "to read" are an infinitive. Some verbs can be followed by an infinitive or a gerund. Knowing when to use an infinitive and when to use a gerund is difficult. The good news is this: only a few verbs commonly appear with gerunds. Verb plus gerund structures are less common than verb plus infinitive structures. When English speakers use verb plus gerund structures, the verbs often come from one of three groups. The groups have meanings that suggest beginnings and ends, thoughts and memories, and sights, and sounds. These three groups are common in everyday speech and fiction writing, but rare in school-related or academic writing. We will now look closer at each of the groups.
Here is our first meaning group, beginnings and ends. Gerunds often follow verbs that suggest a beginning or ending. The most common examples include the verbs begin, start, and stop. Famous works of American fiction have examples of this structure. The 1988 novel Tracks, written by Louise Erdrich, begins with the following words.
We started dying before the snow, and, like the snow, we continued to fall.
In the example, the gerund dying follows the verb started, a verb that suggests a beginning. The words from Journey's song show how speakers use verbs that suggest an ending. Don't stop believing. Here, the gerund believing follows the verb stop. Now, we will begin exploring our second meaning group.
The second group is thoughts and memories. Gerunds often follow verbs that suggest that the mind is at work. The most common examples include the verbs remember, think about, and think of. Consider this example.
Do you remember playing at that park when we were young?
In the example, the gerund playing follows the verb remember, a verb that suggests the mind is working. Let's consider another example. Imagine you see a car that has been severely damaged. The owner might say,
"Well, maybe I should think about buying a new car."
Here, the gerund buying follows the verb structure think about. Think about means to consider something. It suggests that a person will examine different possibilities and make a decision. Perhaps we should think about exploring one more meaning group.
Our final meaning group is this, senses. Gerunds often follow verbs that suggest sights and sounds. Common examples include the structures see plus a noun phrase plus a gerund and hear plus a noun phrase plus a gerund. A noun phrase is a group of words that acts like a noun in a sentence. William Faulkner's The Sound and the Fury gives you one example of these grammatical structures.
Through the fence, between the curling flower spaces, I could see them hitting.
Here, the verb see is followed by a pronoun, the word them. The gerund, hitting, comes after the pronoun. Here is another example. Imagine you are reading a crime novel and you see the following words.
He could see a large man waiting in the alley.
Here, the noun phrase a large man comes between the verb see and the gerund waiting.
The next time you are reading fiction in English or speaking to an American, try to find examples of verb plus a gerund. Ask yourself why the speaker may have used the gerund instead of the infinitive. Does the verb relate to one of the groups we talked about today? Gerunds can be hard to master. It takes time to become skilled in their use. But the most important thing is that you do not stop trying to use them. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.